Listen and receive the Lord's word for us this morning. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their sight. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for this opportunity to stand before your people. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and all the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock, you are our Redeemer. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. A little over 2 years ago, attorney Brian Stevenson, founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative and author of Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption, was a speaker at the Carnegie Foundation Summit on Improvement in Education. One of the points that attorney Stevenson made that evening, and that he also wrote about in his book, is the importance and power of proximity. He said we must get proximate to suffering and understand the nuanced experiences of those who suffer from and experience inequality. If you are willing to get closer to people who are suffering, you will find the power to change the world. I would dare say that the entire ministry of Jesus Christ on earth was based on him getting close, being proximate. That's the lesson that Jesus sought to teach his disciples during their 3 years together. That to get close to others, to teach people, treat people as they hope to be treated, to show love, was how people would know they were his disciples. And brothers and sisters, you can't begin to love without getting close. The Gospel of Luke reports that on the night Jesus was taken into custody, rather than drawing close, the majority of his followers scattered or followed from afar. And the day Jesus gave up his spirit and died on the cross, all of his acquaintances, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, according to Luke. They witnessed all that occurred, but they were not close. A number of years ago, I was walking right next to someone who was assaulted by a person for no apparent reason. Although the assailant literally reached around me to land the blow, weeks later, when the police detectives came and presented a photo for me to try to identify the perpetrator of the crime, I wasn't able to do so. Even though I could not have been closer, I was unable to recognize the attacker. Therefore, we can assume that the distance between Jesus and his followers from the time he was taken into custody and buried negatively impacted their ability to be quality witnesses to all that occurred as well. This third Sunday in Easter, Luke tells us that on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body with the spices, only to find that the tomb was empty. And while there, they witnessed two men in dazzling clothes who asked why they were looking for the living among the dead. The women ran and they shared with the 11 all that they had seen, heard, and experienced. After hearing the women's report, Peter and the others ran to the tomb to witness for themselves. Later that same day, Jesus joined two of his followers on the road to Emmaus, and although they chided Jesus for being the only stranger in Jerusalem who didn't know what had taken place there, it wasn't until Jesus joined them at table, blessed and broke bread, that their eyes were opened and they realized who Jesus was. Scripture tells us that same hour the two got up and returned to Jerusalem, joining the 11 and their companions who proclaimed the Lord had risen and appeared to Simon, to which the two witnessed to their experience with the risen Savior and how their hearts burned within them. While Jesus's followers were talking, he entered the room proclaiming, "Peace be with you." Startled and terrified, the followers thought that they were seeing a ghost. Now, it's not unusual for us to be frightened or confused by that which we don't understand, by people we don't know or circumstances that seem unnatural. I dare say that misunderstanding and the inability to draw close is what sparked what became a firestorm when it recently collided with the accusations of gentrification and the elimination of blacks from this community. The removal of a sign that made some, including me, suspect of the meaning and intent was met head on with accusations of racism, elimination, and exclusion. Rather than people sitting down and engaging in civil discussion, getting proximate to one another, and coming to some understanding, the flames of uncivil discord across social and other sources of social media were fanned. When we allow our emotions and don't attempt to foster understanding, fear and sometimes negative reactions occur. It's easy to label certain groups of people as lazy, good for nothing, or always expecting a handout when we haven't drawn close or know their history. It's easy to label people as racists and bigots when we don't draw close and hear their story. It's easy to think a community has become gentrified when we can't easily identify where people with limited incomes live. It's easier to spew vitriolic rhetoric rather than reason together, to compromise and to work things out for the mutual good of everyone. We are honored to have with us this morning Mark and Miriam. It was their willingness to obediently answer God's call to draw close to those who desired a better life for themselves and their family that resulted in the border ministry of Frontera de Cristo and the birth of Cafe Usto. It was by living and walking with, being in close proximity to the people of God who lived on both sides of the border between Agua Prieta, Sonora, Mexico, and Douglas, Arizona, that Mark and Miriam, their families, and co-laborers in ministry were able to understand the needs, desires, and strengths of those who are sometimes demonized, denigrated, and characterized as lazy, criminals, and worse. Many ELPC members, by being proximate, have witnessed the plight of the people of God on the other side of the border and know the importance of supporting fair trade and fair trade plus goods and services that enable people to financially support their families and create a legacy that can be passed down through the generations. Drawing close taught us that not standing at a distance and making unfounded assumptions about people was the order of the day and what is called of us by God. Brian Stevenson says we must get proximate to suffering and understand the nuanced experiences of those who suffer from and experience inequality. If you are willing to get close, he says, to people who are suffering, you will find the power to change the world. Jesus invited his followers to come close, to look at his hands and his feet, to touch the remnants of his suffering on the cross. The followers were joyfully disbelieving. So Jesus asked for, sat down, and ate a piece of fish to further demonstrate that he was indeed a living, breathing, eating, resurrected human being. Jesus opened their minds with all that he had spoken to them before, and the scripture saying, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus said, you are the witnesses of these things. Beloved, we, the children of God, are the witnesses of these things as well. However, our witness is only as valid, unimpeachable, and genuine as we are willing to be proximate to people, situations, and communities. When we walk with others who are different from us, stand up for justice, equality, and equity for the disenfranchised and the dispossessed, when we give of our time, talent, and treasure to ensure others have the necessities as well as some of the niceties of life, when we seek understanding rather than division or ruptures, when we agree to disagree without rancor or sowing discord, we are witnessing to the things of God. Justice, peace, grace, forgiveness, acceptance, and most of all, love. When we stretch beyond what is comfortable and known to enter into someone else's reality, it can be unsettling and it's often frightening, but it can also be joyful, life-changing, and transformative. That's the message of the life of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection. Now I ask this question this morning. Can I get a witness? Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, risen Lord, living Spirit, draw near to us now as we remember that in the closeness comes clarity, and in your presence and proximity comes the joy and the vision that we need to be your witnesses in all that we do. On this day especially, we lift up to you the concerns of the world around us and ask that once more you might walk beside us, opening our minds to understand the Scripture's words, the Gospel's truth, and then send us out to walk boldly in this world, being ambassadors of healing, faith, and hope. O Prince of Peace, as you showed us your wounded hands and feet, reveal once more to your church, the church universal, the people of prayer in every faith tradition, that they may see clearly the wounds of their neighbors, the fears of families, but walk the avenues of healing. Lord, author of life, we beg for peace among nations, peace throughout communities, peace within families. Guide leaders and voters, legislatures, parliaments, Congress, and officials, that they may once more follow what is just, doing so with words that are graceful, spirits that are open, and in all things, faithful. Lighten our darkness, let your brightness burn in its places that have been too long shrouded in violence. Bring safety on the border regions for all families. Bring hope to all people seeking economic independence. Reveal pains that have been kept hidden in secret, and open us to be your people of grace and mercy. Lord God, you invite us to share with you what's on our hearts. And so know the prayers we bring into this space, but then go beside us that we may trust in you always and see the resurrection good news in the world that you have made and redeemed and in our own lives. Draw near to us now that we may come close to you and hear us as we offer the prayer you've taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.